This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the craziest, one of the best days in recent show history continues. Grant and Danny on the Fan. So Charles Barkley is back. We said it would have been funnier maybe if he was just like, yeah, let's keep talking. And then we never
heard
from him
again.
He just came in like a star that burnt out, and then he was gone. And we're like, did that just happen? Did we just hang out with Chuck and kind of become best friends? It's like that never happened. But he is back right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Charles, welcome back onto the show. Hopefully we haven't ruined your day completely.
Well, I thought y'all had the longest commercial break in the history of civilization.
Well, we do have really long
they
commercial
are long,
breaks.
Yes.
So here's the question then. Is our guy Ryan, does he need to be in trouble?
We could scold him if you'd like.
Do we have to fire him?
No, he said, I'll text you. I said, okay. And I said, yo, then I, after about 10, 15 minutes, I text him. I said, yo, man, y'all back from break yet? He says, I've been texting you. I said, no, man, that's not a number, you know, because I have to do a lot of interviews, so I don't want to do those on the cell phone in case it keeps breaking up or anything. So I put a landline in the house just to do interviews, but it doesn't ring. It doesn't ring, and he was sent into that number. I don't even know what that number is. So he's not the smartest. Hey, he's not the smartest guy in the world, but that's okay.
Well, we already knew that. We love him, though. He's so funny.
He's adorable.
And he's precious, and he has high energy, and he really – he's a good dude. You'd like him, too, I think. But we're not telling
you
he's smart.
Well, since I'm never going to see the Wizards, come to D.C. to see the Wizards, y'all going to have to come visit me somewhere.
All right, we're going to do it. Let's play Top Golf or something. Let's hang out. That would be the coolest thing ever. I told you we wanted to talk basketball, but I do have one more thing that I want to bring up before we do basketball. And that is because I've always wondered this. There was this story out there that you gained 20 pounds in 48 hours one time.
Oh, yeah. That's a true story.
Amazing.
So
beats my record.
Danny has the record for our show. He gained 27 pounds on vacation in a week and a half one time. But 20 and 48, you pummeled him.
Well, what happened was, okay, back when I came to the NBA, they had a hard salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sixers had invited me up like a month before the draft because, you know, that was a big concern of my weight because I played around 300 pounds in college. So the Sixers invited me up. I weighed about 297, I think, at that time. And the owner says, listen, I want to see if you're going to be able to control your weight. We're going to – And I think the draft was about a month, 5 weeks, somewhere in there. So he said, I'm going to bring you up here, and I want you to be 285. And I said, oh, yeah, that's no problem. I got like a little over a month. So I go down to Texas and spend that month with my agent. I don't want to miss his name because he turned out to be a crook. His name was Lance Lesnick. Hey, if I ever see that MF again, I'm gonna bash his head in.
Oh,
I'm telling you, this dude stole all my money after 4 years I was broke. And if I ever see him again,
he really took that much money.
He took all my money. But that's okay. Hey, listen, that's okay. I'm gonna forget and kill. I'm not gonna kill him. But I would punch him in the face probably. So we stopped. So like 2 days before the draft, he sits me down and says, "Hey, you do know the Sixers are over the salary cap, and you're going to sign a 1 year deal for $75,000." I said, "Yo, man, I didn't leave college for $75,000." Are you kidding me? He said, "Well, that's the way the rules work." And he said, "You're going to be, because Sixers had the number 5 pick in the draft." I said, "Man, I'm not leaving college for $75,000. He says, "Well, I don't know what to tell you. Just let's, what are we going to do?" I said, "Let's find a way the Sixers don't draft me." So we got 2 days before we have to get to Philly. So that morning, I'm at probably 282. I'm doing great until he broke my heart with that 75 grand. So that morning we wake up, we went to Denny's, and I ordered like 12 pancakes, sir, bacon. ate up good.
That's awesome.
And then we went to a steakhouse, and I got the bigger. I got like a porterhouse. And, you know, I got onion rings, and I got a big piece of cake. And that was the first day. The second day, I did the exact same thing. I went to Denny's, and I ate 2 or 3 Grand Slam breakfasts, went out to another big steakhouse. We jump on the plane to stop in Philly, and I weighed 302. And I'm like, okay, I'm good to go now. The owner calls me every name in the book. And I'm like trying to keep a straight face, and I'm trying not to. Man, I don't want y'all drafting me. I don't want no $75,000. So he had called me every name in the book. We jump on the train, we go to do to New York, and because if you go back and look at the footage, there's a painful look on my face. You know, I like because when they said and with the 5th pick in the draft, the 76ers select Charles Barkley, I was, oh my, and I, you know, you kind of like, but I got an ugly look on my face. That's exactly what happened.
Which look was worse, yours or Steve Francis going to Vancouver?
Oh, Steve Francis was worse because he just showed it. I actually faked it pretty good. I'm telling you, my man, Steve Francis, that was an ugly, ugly look he had. I remember that vividly. Because I played with him then.
We have the same feeling, I think, toward Drake. Because one of the things I always loved was you suffered Drake doing his All About Me thing on the sideline about as much as I do, Charles.
I like Drake.
Yeah, but
I do. I think that when he's harassing the other players, that crosses the line. But, you know, he's number one, he's a really nice guy. I mean, he's a really a nice guy. But, you know, I just think sometimes, listen, because you can see it, that stuff is fun when you're winning. But they were getting ready to lose the world championship. So, he had to be very – that's what – if I was losing the championship, I mean, if he had been cheering for the Bulls and I'd been standing right beside our bench, I might have clocked him.
Charles Barkley with us here on G&D. A little bit of hoops. I promised we would. What a turnaround in this Brooklyn-Milwaukee series, Charles. Milwaukee looked like they were dead on arrival. Now with Harden out, Kyrie with the ankle. Milwaukee's got to be the favorite, yes?
Well, I picked Milwaukee before the series. People got to stop overreacting. Like the same thing with this Clippers-Utah. Like the Utah only did what they were supposed to do. I mean, a series does not start until you lose a home game. So I thought they would go back to Brooklyn 2-2. Now it switches if Kyrie's not playing. I really think that can you imagine if the Bucks lose to the Nets without James Harden and without Kyrie Irving, can you imagine the heat that Giannis is going to take?
Yep.
I mean, he's going. I mean, I know how this thing works. If he's got to win this series now, I mean he's got to win this series with no James and no Kyrie. I mean, that's really put him under the gun. But, hey, that's what goes with the territory when you win MVP and you're a great player. You get criticized if you don't win.
Well, Charles, that's what I was going to bring up, actually, what you just mentioned. Now, obviously, you guys had different games at different times, but I see a lot of the treatment that he gets in kind of the same treatment that you got. I always thought that was a little unfair. Like, you were great players. He's a great player. But everybody decides, you know, if there's a postseason that doesn't go right because they run up against a buzzsaw of some sort, I kind of see a lot of parallels there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's just the way it goes. I mean, you know, it all changed when LeBron left Cleveland and teamed up with those guys in Miami. Now, that put from that point on, you know, guys act like they don't read the newspaper, listen to the radio, but they do. I admire same thing with KD. He's like, yo, I'm not going to win this thing. I better, because once you win it, you can kind of get diplomatic immunity. So, Giannis is going to, first of all, I love the kid, and I hope he stays in Milwaukee, and I would like to see him win it, but if they don't win, it's not the end of the world. But that's just the media we live in now, where guys going to get on TV. Well, number one, I'm not one of those guys, but these idiots on TV are going to say, well, what's he won, anything? Number one, like, they actually played. They've never played anything in their life, but that's just the monster we uncreated. And I always tell people, it ain't right, it ain't wrong, that's just how it is. Because if he loses, but they should win this series. I thought they'd win it going in, and now they better win it.
I do hate the analysis of the ring talk. Like, I happen to think Jordan's the greatest player ever over LeBron, but in the same way, hypocritically, people will say, well, he has six and LeBron's got fewer. Like, Marino doesn't have any, or a guy like your career is supposed to be worse, as if it's just easy to win by yourself. Like, you're in a lane swimming in an individual sport. Drives me out of my mind. Like, people will say, well, Brady's better than Manning. Look how many championships he's won. Well, there's a conversation to be had. There's more to it to winning titles than just that means you're the best.
I think what happened, a couple of these idiots and fools and jackasses on television, you know, they make a living criticizing guys who haven't won it, because it's a great debate. Not really. And I don't even think it's debate. Like, wait, when did this become an individual sport? And we're not tennis or golf, but something happened where guys like, oh, if I can criticize guys and make a great living at it, a.k.a. a skilled ballist, and he's made a great living saying that, and it really pisses me off. But he's made, like, now he's made it popular for other people to do it. You know, Stephen A. does it sometime. Max does it sometime. But somewhere along the way, people realize, like, oh, man, if I can criticize a star, and then you do the old silliness, like, well, who's better between Michael and Kobe? Who's better between Kobe and LeBron? So these guys start making a lot of money doing that. And like I say, now the thing is, well, he's not won anything, so he's not worthy. I'm like, yo, man, I'm not out here by myself. This is a team game, but that's just the way it's built now.
Charles, you were an MVP. Last night we had an MVP get ejected. I mean, the league you played in, I think about, like, those 90 games against the Pistons when you're getting into it with Laimbeer, and just the way that Rodman used to, like, pull your jersey off, essentially, trying to keep you from getting the ball in the post. You saw Joker get ejected last night. I know that it was a swing to make a hard foul, but he barely ends up touching Payne. What did you think of that?
Well, I think the ref should have took into account it was an elimination game, and he was the MVP. I don't think he should have got tossed. It should have been. I mean, because, like I say, context matters. You know, like we were talking earlier about when you make a joke, sometimes it's just a joke. It's not like somebody's got to be all offended. Like, sometimes it is just a joke. And so I thought the ref would have said, okay, he did hit him. I don't think he was trying to hit him. But he is the MVP, and this is an elimination game. So I think the refs could have taken that into context, and they did not. So I think they screwed up last night.
Charles, what would be really cool for a number of reasons. One, what Philadelphia has gone through just in terms of their basketball building. And then two, the team that Phoenix has put together, we could have the Charles Barkley Bowl in the finals. It's on the table with what Phoenix did last night, kind of finishing off Denver that we're talking about. Happy for Chris Paul and James Jones, the way that team is put together. But what would that mean to you, having a couple of franchises that you can claim as your own meeting in the finals?
It would be pretty cool because I couldn't lose, number one. Because I live in both places, yeah. It'd be awesome. And number one, we won't be working, so I'll probably get to go to, you know, as a regular. Well, I don't like going to games to take away from these kids, but I'd be watching it very intensely, and I'd be happy for my friends in Philadelphia, or I'll be happy for my friends in Arizona. I mean, it would really be pretty awesome, but, man, I tell you what, we got a long way to go because – This depending on Brooklyn's health and Milwaukee, man, they're going to be a handful for the 76ers. But also out west, Phoenix is going to be an underdog to whoever they play, whether it's the Clippers or Utah. As great as this season has been, I don't think they're going to be favored against either one of those teams out west. And I don't think Philadelphia is going to be favored against Milwaukee if they play them. Now, if these other guys are hurt now, I think Philly will be favored.
Charles, when's the last time you've been starstruck? Like, if I was walking across the street and I saw you, it'd be so cool to run up and, you know, say what's up. Has that happened to you at any point in your adult life?
Oh, yeah, many times. I mean, first time I met Wayne Gretzky, first time I met Denzel Washington. I remember I was telling a story, like, on a podcast the other day, because we were interviewing Marv Albert. I remember the first time, when I'm a rookie, Jack Nicholson, you know, he sits right beside the Lakers bench, and Jack said my name. I called all my friends after the game. Jack Nicholson know who I am, you know?
It's amazing.
And then I said, man, y'all ain't going to believe this. Denzel Washington said, good luck, young gun. I said, like, Denzel Washington know who I am. I mean, you're always – I mean, the first time I met Dr. J and Moses, I tell people, like, I stayed up all night the night before my rookie year because I didn't know what to call Dr. J. I said, God, I asked all my friends, do I call him Doc, Dr. J, Mr. Irving, Julius? They're like, that's a good question. He walk up, he said, hey, young fella, I'm Doc. And I say, hey, I'm Charles. Glad to be here. But anytime like you do something like that, it's pretty because you know you appreciate like Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady is number one. He might be the greatest athlete of all time. He's the greatest football player of all time, and he's the nicest guy on top of it. But first time I met him, I think he had probably won 4 or 5 Super Bowls the first time I met him, and I was like, damn. Tom Brady.
That ain't bad. Charles, this is incredible. And it would have been more incredible had things been a little bit different. 1984 draft, Charles Barkley goes 5 to Philadelphia. Melvin Turpin went to the Washington Bullets at the time with the number 6 pick. If only you'd pouted a little bit more and gotten to D.C.,
yeah,
it would have been a different career.
32 pounds.
You know?
Hey, so Melvin went 6, correct?
Yes, Melvin went 6 right after you.
So you know who we found out started the rumor that I had ballooned up when they – because I don't think I was – you know, they put out a rumor that I was like 350 pounds, and it was Bernie Bickerstaff. It was Bernie Bickerstaff of the Wizards.
Because
they wanted you to fall.
Because they wanted me to fall. So that's actually part of the story too. That's why the Sixers like, no, you need to come to Philly before you go back to New York. We're not going to take your word for it. No, you're coming to Philly. But Bernie Bickerstaff, who's really turned into a really good friend of mine over the years. But I'll tell you what, I like Sachi Brown, man. I think he's going to do a great job down there if y'all are patient. I don't know him that well. I met him a couple years ago. But
smart
I think
dude.
If y'all give him time, he's going to do a really smart dude. I mean, y'all just got to be patient. Because let me tell you something. The big kid Gafford, Rui, I think both of those guys, those were good picks, man. I really like Gafford. Gafford was the bright spot in the playoffs. He was terrific. And like I say, I like how you pronounce his name? Hachimura.
Rui Hachimura, yeah.
Yeah, so y'all got to figure out what to do with Wes and Bradley. But, man, y'all have made some good draft picks
lately. And they got to figure out what they're going to do with the coach because Brooks supposedly might come back. But we watch all these other teams interviewing coaches, and right now – I don't know what's going on.
It's just tumbleweed across the street. We don't hear a single rumor.
Nothing in D.C.
Well, listen, Scott is a really good friend of mine, and it's a tough business. Scott is a really good. He stayed with me for a while when he was with the 76ers.
Really?
Because he's been a good friend. He's like the really funny part of the story is we were talking one day. And he says, hey, I'm going looking for apartments today. I said, Rick, why don't you just stay with me for a while? And then he says, okay, that's a good idea. And then like 5 days later, he got cut. He says, so good damn idea you didn't go get that condo and have to pay that rent for a year, right?
First and last.
That's pretty great.
Hey, I did. He says to me, and we used to joke about it, he says, hey, why didn't you ask me to come live with you? I said, man, I didn't think you were going to make the team, and I know how these big cities work. You've been paying rent for a year living and back in what? I think you went to Cal Irvine. I said, you'd be living in Cal Irvine paying rent back in Philadelphia. That made no sense.
Amazing.
And I knew they had to make – I said, listen, you're a good kid. And I said, why don't you wait? Because I knew they had to make a decision in like a week. And I said, yo, I'm not going to let this kid go buy an apartment and have to pay rent for Lisa to pay rent for a year. And he stayed with me. So he's always been a great friend. He's a great kid. He's had a great career. And like I say, I'm hoping, wishing nothing but the best for Scott.
Well, Charles, this has been a treat.
Unbelievable, buddy.
One of the best shows we've done in 8 years just because you hung with us this long. This was a lot of fun. Thank you. Very, very cool.
Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you guys. Number one, keep having fun, making fun of me. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. And you guys keep continuing success.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much. Seriously.
This means a lot.
Right, guys. Thanks. Take care. Thank you.
Charles Barkley.
Wow.
What on earth was that? I mean, that was crazy. If you missed him from 320 to 3 to 320.
Quarter of our show today, Charles Barkley.
You got 4 to 420, Charles, as well. Go back and podcast whatever you miss. One story after another. That was a tan, Miss Davis. A tan doesn't do it justice. We could have kept going.
I'm like awestruck at this moment.
It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
That was cool. Grant and Danny on the Fan. All right, let's get our acts together next. Let's regroup a little bit.
Here we go.
This is just as important and just as cool. We're going to talk about Logan Thomas's projected 2021 season in Washington. Next, right here on The Fan.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bernie Bickerstaff almost had Charles Barkley to D.C. He should have said he was 400 pounds.
I never heard that. Had you ever heard that story?
No, I haven't.
I never heard that anywhere.
A lot of stories Charles Barkley told us today over 45 minutes on Grant and Danny.
You know.
Over the last hour and a half.
The thing that happened on the show today.
Multiple segments with our pal. Wow. If you missed any part of it, the Odyssey app is how you can listen. Joe is in Warrington on G&D. What's up, Joe? How are you?
If you guys could have Charles Barkley on every day, that would make me cry every day. That was hilarious. And Danny, you're even the, what was it? Knock, knock joke.
Oh, on TNT, that, the knock, knock bit. Yeah.
Oh my God. That just made my day. You guys are nailing it every which way you can do it. And I love it. I've been listening since day one, and you guys just nail it. Well, I love you
sweet.
Guys.
Sweet. That is appreciate so kind.
Remember when we didn't really know? We're like, well, we're having Charles on. You got to do the impression at some point.
Yeah,
I don't
we're
even
really sure what
did.
To do. I don't think I came up like for a couple of seconds, but that wasn't what it was about. It's about him being awesome, how cool he is, you know?
Breaking Nats news real quick. Wanted to get into with you, and we're going to talk Logan Thomas because I want to try to figure out if people are expecting him to build on last year. Was it a one-hit wonder, or can he replicate that? Max Scherzer threw today.
Yep.
So this is what the plan all along was. He was going to throw today. If it went well, he's going to start on Wednesday against the Pirates. If it didn't go well, then he might be headed to the injured list, and he might miss a start. He was very optimistic after he left his outing on Friday night after 12 pitches against the Giants that he wasn't going to have to miss any time. He got in full uniform, went out to the bullpen to throw. This is from Mark Zuckerman within the last half hour. Looks like Scherzer cut short his scheduled 31-pitch bullpen session, had a long talk with a group of observers, including Davey Martinez, Jim Hickey, and trainers. Scherzer did not get through the scheduled 31 pitches. I guess it's possible that he felt so good that he said, I'm not going to throw 30 pitches, I'm just going to go back in into the air conditioning, and I'm ready to pitch on Wednesday.
Everything's so good, we'll just cut this session short.
Does not sound like that's the thing, though.
No, it does not.
Sounds like bad news for Scherzer and maybe an injured list stint coming, which would mean that Paolo Espina, who is not Max Scherzer, would pitch against the Pirates on Wednesday. So you'd have Lester tonight, Corbin tomorrow, and then Paolo Espina getaway day, 4:05 first pitch on Wednesday.
And Espino's been good. This is no disrespect to him, but it's obviously not the same as having, you know, a guy that's right now to this point before this all happened, as good a season as he's ever had. Max Scherzer at 36 plus years old and through 13 starts has an ERA in the low twos. He's ridiculous. He's incredible. He's striking out as high a batters per nine as he ever has. His strikeout to walk ratio is absurd. I mean, he's great. So they need him back in the lineup for a million reasons.
Yeah, I just know that without Max Scherzer, they can't get where they need to go in terms of turning their season around, very simply. So if he's going to miss a start, not a big deal. If he's going to miss a couple of weeks now when you've been digging a massive hole for yourself and you're trying to dig out of it, that's a potential deal breaker. You add to that, you compound that with Strasburg, who is already on the injured list, with Corbin, who is not the version of himself that you paid for in 2019, hasn't been all year, and it's hard to make a case for them getting as hot as they need to go. They need to turn their season around by playing like 650 ball for an extended period of time. They basically now are in a mode where they got to recapture 2019, which is like a once-in-a-generation, a once-in-an-organizational-history magical carpet ride, and you can at least talk yourself into the possibility that they can win 9 in a row and rip off 12 of 14 and 17 of 21.
Mm-hmm.
If Scherzer's going every 5 days and Stras is on top of his game and Corbin is going 7 innings and punching out 9. But you basically have none of those three guys either pitching or what they were then. And that's scary and makes you think when you're not going to win 17 out of 20 with all due respect because they've thrown really well last time we've seen them. Ross and Fetty and Lester and Paolo Espina running your rotation.
And when they were 19 and 31 a couple years ago, we said, hey, let's be very realistic here. Here's what they have to do. This is what they have to do. Because of this crappy start, they have to do the following things. Well, then it turns out they went out and did them, by the way. And it was remarkable. That's what made that final 110 games where it was them, the Astros, and maybe a couple other teams in that level of winning percentage to get to 93 wins after going 19-31 was you had no margin for error. You're now past that point of 19-31 to a further zone where you really don't have any margin for error. Again, it's different because this division is bad. Maybe that's your path. But last time it was the wild card, you know, where you know, there are enough teams that maybe weren't quite as good. The field has changed as well. You've got to win this division pretty much the way it looks now. Maybe something's changed, but you pretty much got to win the division you won in the postseason. Or we could be talking about you being sellers here in a few weeks.
If any news comes out on Scherzer, if the Nats release anything, we'll get it to you first right here on Grant and Danny today on 106.7 The Fan. And speaking of the Nats, Kyle Schwarber, who hit home runs in each of the two games he batted leadoff on Saturday and Sunday. He hit three home runs total over the weekend. He'll be joining us at 6 o'clock, about an hour and 20 from right now, so make sure you're listening at that time. You can always tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Our boy Guilo said, you guys realize less than 2 weeks ago, you said, it's cool that this went viral, but it's not like Charles Barkley's coming on the show to do a segment. He said, since then, Danny's been on TNT. You guys have talked to Ernie Johnson, and you just basically did 45 minutes with Charles Barkley. That was cool.
I agree with everything you just said. Just, it's crazy. It's crazy to think about. You know?
We called last week the week of Danny. It might become the weeks of Danny. I mean, it started with Charles Barkley.
Month of Danny? June. I don't know. June 2021, man. Crazy. Just crazy that it all happened. It's awesome.
What a cool dude, though.
100%. That's the takeaway.
What you want in an interview generally, it wasn't even an interview. That's the beauty of it. It was three guys talking. But you want someone who's just shooting the breeze. Yeah. As if they're sitting poolside hanging out with people that they know. And that's the vibe. Like, he wasn't answering questions. When we started interviewing about the NBA playoffs, maybe a little bit. But to me, that was the least entertaining part of the whole thing.
Agreed.
The fun was, hey, what do you think about this? And then he goes, this is what I think about this.
If I ever see him, I'll punch him in the face. That's three different people.
He called Skip Bayless Skip Ballless.
I heard that. At one point. People tweeted, is that what he said?
Yes, it is. Pretty funny.
Yes, it is exactly what he said. Just wild, man. I mean, to give you a comp, again, I'm making it about myself. I did a radio hit this morning on a buddy, Pete Medhurst, who lives down in Memphis, does Memphis Sports Radio. And they were like,
His name is Pete Medhurst?
No, he's Pete's buddy, who lives down there. A guy named Greg was his name. But he said, I'm reaching out. I'm friends with Pete. Can you do this spot? I said, yeah, sure, whatever.
And they're like, you said, I wouldn't do it, but because you're friends with Pete Medhurst,
Now I'll do it. I said, yeah, it's fine. I'm happy to do it. I love attention.
At the end of the interview, did you say, you guys want me to come back on next segment?
Yeah, I said, I'll do another an hour. But all it was, hey, can you do this voice? Can you do this? Can you do this? And that was the segment. It was fine. It was fun. But, like, can you imagine if we'd done that kind of same shtick with Charles Barkley? You don't have to. He's just sitting there chatting with you like you've known him for years. You know, it's just different, man. It's hard to describe how unique that person is. Amazing.
All right, let's talk Logan Thomas next. One-hit wonder, or can he build on his 2020 breakout? You're going to hear what Scott Turner said the expectations are for Logan Thomas when he joined the show last week. Been a good run. Scott Turner on Friday, Barkley today. Make sure you podcast that. And, of course, Daryl Green tomorrow at 3. You're listening to G&D on The Fan. G&D on The Fan, 5 at 5 in 15 minutes. Kyle Schwarber at 6 this evening. Excited to talk to him. So we had Scott Turner, the OC of the Washington football team, on end of last week. If you missed that interview, he was awesome. We covered just about every player on offense and everything you'd want to know about his scheme. He got to the bottom of. Even gave us some play calls to try to repeat to him.
But totally nailed it. You can go back and check.
We'll go with that. We'll say you nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. First time.
But Logan Thomas came up, and we disagree a little bit on him. I am very high on his chances to repeat last year, and I think he's got a chance to be a top half of the league tight end in the NFL for the next couple of seasons. And I know you're not quite as bullish on him. Turner talked about his development last season and how it took, he said, until about week 7 for Thomas to really turn a corner as a tight end in this scheme. Here he was last week on G&D.
I think when you look at Logan, you know, coming into the season, you know, he had a great camp for us. You know, we didn't have a lot of time, obviously, with all the restrictions. But, you know, we felt good about him going into the season. But, you know, you never know until the games really start. And then just himself, like that, he's played in the league, obviously, but he was more of a spot player. You know, he's a backup. He'd play at times, maybe some injuries, so he played a couple games here and there. But last year was the first time that he was, like, truly the guy, you know, at the tight end spot. And I think it got, when we got to about week 7 or week 8, he really, I think the confidence and everything just clicked for him. And if you look at the second half of the season or even the last 9 games, 10 games of the season, he was one of the top tight ends in the league. I mean, he talked about third in receiving, but I'm talking about just, you know, the types of catches he was making, his ability to block, the way he played fast, you know, the contested catches, the yards after catch.
That was Turner on the show. Logan Thomas came into Washington last year, Danny, 35 career catches for 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, he had 72 grabs for 670 and 6.
So the numbers
was just because, you know, they needed someone to catch the ball. They have more weapons now, so he's not going to get maybe the high percentage of targets he got last year. But that might also help him to get open a little bit more because there's other guys to account for.
The numbers that Scott Turner threw out there, it's kind of backed up when you start to look at the production. Early in the season, and you could blame Haskins if you want to, but they were featuring Logan Thomas a lot. You and I came in doing shows and we're going, why aren't they throwing the ball to the running backs? Why aren't there targets for Antonio Gibson? There was a zero target game for J.D. McKissic on his way to 80-plus catches. Starting in week 4, they started featuring those guys more, Thomas less for a couple weeks. His targets went from 8, 9, and 7 down to nothing but 4 for 4 straight weeks, basically. Then business picked up again for Logan Thomas. I think there was a light bulb that went off, and he was a different player from basically week 7 through the rest of the year than he was in those first handful of weeks. And that stands to reason, by the way. So credit to the staff, credit to the scouts, to everybody that said, we see something in this guy. And when it's going to happen, it's always hard to say, but it absolutely did happen. He went from a guy that probably wasn't particularly good or top half or top whatever percentage of the league you want as a tight end to somebody that's a bona fide tight end target for an NFL offense. And he only had one game where he wasn't pretty damn productive, a 2-catch-for-6-yard game against Cincinnati. But other than that, was a significant weapon for them as a tight end.
Yeah, and for me, it shouldn't have been expected that he was a great tight end early on.
Absolutely.
That he was a strong option for them. I mean, he's learning the position. He was drafted as a quarterback. He'd played a little tight end with the Lions, but it takes time, and it clicked for him, obviously. Turner does think there's some more potential, though, and that he could have a big second act this year, as he told us on the show.
He came back here in the spring, and he's got that mentality, and he's become a leader for us. And, you know, I think just being able to do it, like the fact that he's done it, has really helped him. And I really expect him to have a big year, and I'm excited about him, happy for him, and excited for him to continue to grow, because I think he'll continue to improve. I think he's 29 years old, but you know, he's a young 29 as far as his body, because it's not like he's been playing tight end for, you know, whatever, the last 10 years, if you talk about college and pro together. So some of that wear and tear that normally comes from that position hasn't really hit him yet. So he's, you know, arrows really pointing up on him.
Finished third at the tight end position in catches last year.
That's wild.
Behind Kelsey and Darren Waller. And then it's Logan Thomas at 72. Now you had the Kittle injury and a couple things worked in his favor.
Mark Andrews got hurt. But, yeah, a number of players. Yeah, that's a pretty amazing number.
It's insane. I don't think he'll catch 70 balls this year. I don't know that he's going to go for close to 700 yards or 6 touchdowns. I'll take the under maybe on some of those totals. Not because he won't be as good. It's just that now, with McLaurin, you've got Curtis Samuel, who they have to get the ball to. They drafted De'Ami Brown in the 3rd round. They get Kelvin Harmon back. So you have another year of Cam Sims, who developed, and Antonio Gainey-Golden, who's a former 4th-round pick. And this is the deepest the receiving core's been in a while. In the slot, you signed Adam Humphries to a 1-year deal. Not to mention that they're going to throw the ball more to Antonio Gibson, and they're going to involve J.D. McKissic.
Mm-hmm.
Turner told us that's still obviously a priority. So you add all that together, there might just be fewer footballs to go around. But I think that the efficiency numbers could go up. I expect Logan Thomas to have a big year. I think last year was not a one-hit wonder kind of breakout season. I think that's what he is for a couple of years. He can't do it for 7-8 seasons because he's 29. But Turner's right. I mean, he's a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a lot of wear on the tread. There should be a few really good seasons ahead of him. And I like that they drafted John Bates to do some of the dirty work and the blocking so you can send him out there to catch passes.
So where my opinion forms is from informed people. I consider my friend Grant Harrison Paulson an informed gentleman. Still got some sources and still got some people that he's able to chat with in the building.
Sauces.
And one of those conversations revolved around, lo and behold, Logan Thomas last year, where some information that was passed to you that was then passed on to me, which helped me form my opinion. We know what Logan Thomas is. He's really probably a tight end two, but he's our tight end one because we don't have anybody else in the room. If we had someone else, he'd be the tight end two. That's kind of where I got my idea here. I think he was their best option, second best option, in kind of that middle of the field passing game behind Terry McLaurin by default. If you have got better options, and I think now they've got, depends on how you want to grade McKissick in terms of better or worse. I think it's the same, right? One's going sideways, the other guy's kind of working against linebackers. But to me, you've got a lot more better options in your pass game now than and it's no disrespect to Logan Thomas. What he did last year was great. I think by virtue of fewer targets, I think the efficiency numbers may go up in terms of number of catches and some of those things, but I don't think you're going to see a 12-target game like you saw last year against Carolina. I don't think you're going to see 9, 7, 8, 9, 7, those kind of target numbers as you go forward. Maybe if your offense is that good, you might have enough to spread the wealth around, but there are too many mouths to feed that are way better than were here last year at this point.
It's certainly true. I just think he's probably a little better than they knew he was. He's certainly more athletic than I thought he was.
I was surprised there. I'll agree with you on that.
You know, he played quarterback. He transitioned to tight end, so he's an athlete. That goes without saying. But early in the year, it seemed like he was kind of a stiffer dude, like ran around, big-bodied guy, would go up the ladder and make catches. By the end of the year, he was kind of an acrobat in traffic.
Yeah, he's not, you know, he's not Kyle Pitts coming out of the draft this year or Tyler Kelce or something like that. Or Travis Kelce, rather. I don't know who Tyler Kelce is. Maybe Tyler Kelce is a fun dude you can hang out with. But there's almost like two kinds of tight ends right now. There's the really you're a receiver that's sort of glorified, or you're a guy that does a little bit of everything. And he's built like an everything guy, right? He's a little bit bigger.
To me, he looks like a guy that should be able to push people around and block and is big and physical. But to me, he was just a better athlete. I was surprised. I wonder if they were a little surprised. I think they thought they were getting, this is a really good second banana at tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so sure they think that way anymore. I'd be curious, but he didn't play like it last year, that's for sure. And Scott Turner seems to think they got big plans for him this year. 5 at 5 is next at 5:25 on Grant and Danny. Michael Phillips thinks Taylor Heinicke is the guy that could take Washington where it wants to go. Now, maybe the columnist from the Richmond Times-Dispatch is nuts, but if the Heinicke train is leaving the station today, are you getting on board or are you sitting this one out? We're going to take some notes, take some names. We want to get everyone on the record right now before whatever happens, happens. You're listening to The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.